Hello, thank you ever so much for jumping on this, the very best bits of the week that was the Breakfast Show podcast. Great having you on board. We touched earlier this morning on it being International Pipe Smoking Day.
Oh, you're still insisting that I get one.
I was insisting that Matt, because I don't want you out there to smoke, obviously, and Andrew and I aren't going to smoke or vape. But Matt, if you could just take up pipe smoking for a single day, that would be great, right? And you'd have one of those Sherlock Holmes type pipes. And
yeah, it's so harsh, though, isn't it, the pipe smoking? I've tried it before.
Yeah.
And my dad and granddad both used to have them. And there's just no filter. It's just rough. It's so rough on the throat.
Yeah, no, maybe don't.
Puts me off.
Maybe don't.
Also, I might set off the smoke alarms in the studio.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't say you should do it in here, but I like the idea of you cycling back to the train station do.
With the pipe on the go.
That's what I mean, with a pipe and a bicycle.
I can do it one-handed,
That kind of thing. It's the imagery. Anyway, we were talking about that on the show, it reminded me that I walked past somebody in the street the other day, and the smell hit me, and it's a smell you just do not smell very often, and it was a cigar. I don't know cigars, but the guy, it was clearly like a big Cuban cigar. And then Andrea, you said to me off air...
You're probably going to be in a fancy part of London, aren't you, to have seen someone with a cigar?
You called it as Mayfair, but actually I was in Knightsbridge.
Now, right.
For those of you who may not know, and I know you all do, but it's important I just say this, Knightsbridge is probably one of the most prestigious kind of addresses in London. It's probably got the most valuable real estate of anywhere on planet Earth. And if you don't know, it's the home of Harrods. That's what it's really famous for. Yeah. And it's this tiny little sliver of London. Yeah. And it packs quite a punch when it comes to, like, you know, a cappuccino being £42.
Yes.
Right. So that leads me to myself. So I was over there to have a lunch with someone. It was a work thing.
It's where all the dandies hang out.
That's what we flock to when we finished our radio broadcasts. Yeah. Pipe in hand, ready to go. No. So I just happened to be up that way. And as always, because I'm just a nightmare like this, I was really early. So I was wandering around, and the only place I could afford to shop in was the charity shop. There's a one charity shop in Knightsbridge, right?
They have good stuff in there, don't
well,
they?
Well, this I thought, I bet they got good stuff in there. That's what I thought. I walked in, and only in Knightsbridge, right, and obviously it's all for a good cause, but there was a pair of silver lame shoes, which put me in mind of you, Andrea.
Yeah, do you love a metallic lame shoe,
right? In a charity shop, only in Knightsbridge, could there be a pair of women's silver lame shoes that were £500?
Oh, wow.
I was about to ask where the charity shop was, but don't worry about it.
Have you ever heard of such a thing in a charity shop?
They'll charge £500.
£500, but do you like them?
Oh, wow. What a purchase.
Enjoy the show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It's time for Matt Dyson and the Social Ammunition. Matt, what do we need to know?
Well, it was a lovely, perfect, grey, wet Sunday for watching the Winter Olympics yesterday, wasn't
perfect.
It? I had a great time. Watched a bit of the women's bobsleigh, a bit of the freestyle skiing, the long distance. I nodded off during that, but I had a great run. And as I was watching it, Matt Doy on Instagram shared this classic clip with me for the Social Ammo. It's not the Winter Olympics without watching this clip at least 100 times, he says. Yannick Bertrand is a French skier who was in the World Cup Super G race in Norway in 2007. This is like Social Ammo gold from yesteryear. He's hurtling down a slope on his skis and he gets a slalom gate pole right between his legs. The pain is so bad you can audibly hear his scream on the commentary. So listen out for the scream. Here it is as it happened.
Yannick Bertrand. The gate to the groin for Yannick Bertrand, and you could hear it.
You could hear it.
And if you're a man, you could feel it. Wow, watch this again.
Replay.
Oh, the Frenchman. Oh, monsieur. Wow, the boys took a beating on that one.
The commentary is amazing. Mm. Oh, monsieur, but you can hear the moment it hit and the scream. Listen to the scream. Wow, we've boosted that a little bit, but that was the scream. sound of Yannick Bertrand in pure pain. And then there's a great impression that's going viral this week.
Tell me it's the Gordon Ramsay one.
It is the Gordon Ramsay one, Dave. Wow.
I haven't heard that.
How did you know?
Look at you, turned my mood round.
It's the excellent Chef of Bates, right? He has done Gordon Ramsay, if he were in Lord of the Rings.
It's so good.
It's a beautiful piece of work.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
One does not simply walk into Mordor. Hey, big boy, are you stupid? Of course we don't. Look at the place. It's burnt. Oh, come on, look. They're taking the hobbits to Isengard because we've left them unattended, like a neglected garnish.
I have my sword.
Great.
And you have my book.
Fantastic.
And my axe.
Oh, come on, is that it? Seriously? A medieval cutlery set? Get out!
I love it.
I want my ChatGPT to talk like Gordon Ramsay. That's the only way for it. The video's amazing. He uses that filter that makes him look like Gordon Ramsay. Comedian Rob Orton saw a pancake-making machine at a breakfast buffet. So imagine like the toast conveyor belt, yeah? That's like that. But it meets a sort of like domino system where it does a splodge of dough on a little mat.
Yeah.
And it goes through, gets heated up, pops out the other end, a fully cooked pancake.
Are we in the future?
I mean, here is Rob describing what he witnessed.
This is a pancake machine that was in Heathrow Airport or Gatwick, and I just could not believe that you could press a button and it would make a pancake. And no one seemed to be using it. And I just, there's something about breakfast buffets that I just absolutely love. Seeing this machine just took it to a whole other level, really.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
That's really nice.
Oh, he's winding up a bit, aren't you?
I feel what he's saying.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, this sounds better than an air fryer to me.
I can make a good pancake,
but I'd be up for one of these.
Imagine that on the breakfast buffet.
See, I think it's about confidence. And at the breakfast buffet, whilst I'm a relatively confident person, there are sections of, you know, of my life where I fail miserably. And I've never used a toaster at the breakfast buffet.
The toaster ones are
the little conveyor belt. I just haven't got the confidence to do it.
Yeah, when you've got to put it for a second time.
Oh, yeah. You've got to stand there awkwardly.
Someone might take your toast, not realising you've put it in. And then you're just stood there and you've got to pick up, you've got to use a napkin to pick things up as well, of course, because you don't want your mucky fingers everywhere. So moving on to a pancake making machine, I'm just not ready for it yet.
No, wait, I know, yeah, it's going to take
time. I appreciate it, but I'm not ready for it.
We're not going to see these everywhere at the moment, but they will, we will, they'll become commonplace.
It's a drip feed, we need,
one step at a time, but remember where you heard it first, yeah. And then the other thing for you this morning is Tom Nesta is back with sarcastic phone calls, becoming a social
who's getting it this time.
It is how people who start a podcast think we see them.
Love
this
it.
This is a bit
I'm here for it.
Yeah, this is a bit very close accurate. To the bone front.
Yeah. Hello, you all right? Yeah, yeah, sweet. I've just seen that you started a podcast. Oh, mate, that's wicked, man. Yeah, I was just thinking how I love having conversations with you, and sometimes I'm not even with you. I'm like, oh, God, I wonder what he's talking about. I wonder what sort of combos he's having. Yeah. And now I can listen to him. So that's really good. Yeah, yeah, because you've got such an important voice, haven't you? Yeah, yeah, you've got a really important voice. Like, everybody's so interested in what you have to say. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can monetize from it. That's all. Like, every time I have a conversation with him, I'm like, he needs to be making money off this. Yeah, because he's just got too many good insights and takes and everything. It's just, yeah, one of the most important voices of a generation, actually. That's what we all say about you when we're not with you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think you're going to smash it, man. No, I don't think the market's saturated. No, no, no. Yeah, and obviously, like, everyone wants to hear what you have to say. You know what I mean? I mean, you do kind of just work in JD Sports and that, but you should definitely talk about like men and women and kind of like, yeah, like societal roles and stuff, yeah, because you're proper qualified to talk about
it. Yeah, you're qualified. Enter the wellness space, man. There's not enough people talking about it. You know all about that stuff. This Sophie James on Instagram shared this with me.
Good morning, Sophie.
It's called the Dubstep Raven. You may have seen it. It's gone massively viral. Two of them have gone massively viral around the world this week. Someone who has a pair of ravens who sit outside their house every morning wanting breakfast, right? And they do some sort of, they have some sort of beatbox performance that they do with the person who lives in the house. So
they're singing for their supper.
Dubstep Ravens. Amazing noises.
What? What do you want? Are you asking for breakfast? Is that what you want? I don't speak, Raven.
I don't speak
Raven.
I'm raving. I'm putting on my Raven shoes. And amazingly, producer Matt has found a dubstep remix of the Raven.
Of course he has.
It's called I'm Raven, I'm Raven. And it's made by Ramesses B on Facebook. Get a load of this. It's amazing.
What? Raven.
So good. I mean, who needs Fred again with Mike Skinner and Underworld when you've got a pair of dubstep Ravens? That is your social ammo action. It's viral, it's trending, it's gaining traction.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show, where every week I give you the platform to let your freak flag fly by sharing your quirks. What makes you an individual? What makes you weird with the nation? And the easiest way of doing it is quite simply completing the sentence, is it weird that? Now, the number is 81215. Myself and the team, we're not immune from this. We like to join in. Each and every week, we have another little quirk that seems to come our way. And if it's not a quirk that we have, we like to take our friends, our families, our loved ones, and we like to share their weirdnesses with you. And last week was no exception when I divulged to the group that my daughter, Evie, who is 7 years old, has a stylespiration. She has a new hero, and it comes in the rather unusual form of Rob Beckett, who we love. We love Rob.
Lovely guy, but an unexpected fashion icon, certainly for a seven-year-old girl.
100%. 100%. So much so that this all came about because my wife, Sarah Jane, was watching Rob and Ramesh versus the Winter Olympics, which is well worth a watch. It's fantastic television. That's the only television those guys know how to make. And she left it on pause, and Evie pressed play because she's now au fait with the remote, of course. Watched a bit of it and just fell in love with Rob. So much so that we ordered her some glasses online, of the clear glass ones that Rob wears.
Exactly the same, aren't they?
Yeah, and Evie, they've got no lenses in them or anything, but she just wears them to like... She went to a friend's party yesterday and she wore the Rob Beckett glasses. So, Matt, you were chatting with Rob over the weekend, and he'd heard it on the show, and you said just how far Evie had gone and told him a little bit about the fact she was wearing these glasses. And something really rather amazing has happened. Something that I want to share with you all, and something I'll be showing my daughter later on today when I see her. Rob Beckett has sent Evie a message.
Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Hello, Evie. It's Rob Beckett here. Now, I hear your dad's an absolute legend and lets you watch Rob and Ramesh, even though you're a bit young to watch. Anyway, you'll learn lots from the show, more than you'll learn from school, so keep watching. Now, his friend, Matt Dyson, co-host of your dad's, said that you've asked for clear frame glasses and you like my style. Great, you got great choice. I think I'm pretty stylish. I think I'm very underrated for my style, but, you know, let's not go down that rabbit hole. So some style tips. Now, what's very on trend at the moment are retro football shirts, in my house anyway. So I'd suggest, Evie, how about getting a retro football shirt, maybe a Millwall kit, a West Ham kit, Chelsea kit, maybe a Tottenham kit, any one of those teams, really. You know, there are other teams in London like Charlton, but, you know... not really popular enough for anyone to have bought any kits for any of the kits to be on the market. So get yourself a nice Millwall kit and wear it down the park with your dad. Cheers, Evie.
Oh, it started so well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Started.
And then he murked
so well.
You at the end.
He did. No, thank you so much to Rob for that. It'll mean the world to Evie. I'll have to explain to her who Millwall are, which I'm not looking forward to doing, but that's coming down the road for me. And we're going to keep it on the fam tip because your son, Ted, who's the same age as Evie, he's chosen a strange karaoke classic,
well,
hasn't he?
Yeah, as I mentioned on the show early this morning, we went for a Valentine's weekend bowling trip with the family, bowling, and then half an hour of karaoke afterwards. So it's like, what are we all going to sing? What are you going to sing?
That was just you, wasn't it?
Yeah, just me and mate.
Doing the B-side to Abbey Road.
I don't think you could have predicted the song that Ted went for, because he went completely rogue.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try and predict for years what he would go for.
Sex Pistols.
You would never have expected he would go for a 1994 hit by the British reggae pop Aswad.
What? Right,
Shine Like a Star is what Ted decided. He's seven.
How has he heard this song?
How did a seven-year-old become aware of it, of Aswad, the work of Aswad?
How does a seven-year-old become aware of the work of Aswad is one of the huge philosophical questions you'll get posed on this breakfast show every Monday morning.
But there is quite a simple explanation. They've been singing it in assembly.
Of course they have.
So really?
I don't know if that is an explanation.
I've got more questions
Why?
I don't know why they're singing Aswad.
Why, sir? Why, miss? Yeah, why? You know, why?
Because it's a sort of positive message, isn't it? Shine like a star.
Oh, yes.
But the rest of the lyrics don't quite fit. But, I think it works as an assembly
song. Did he
do
the whole thing?
He did the whole song. Yeah. There's some really weird bits about Chris Eubank and Nigel Benn. It's like 90s boxing references all the way through it. Very strange lyrics for a lot of it. But yeah, he absolutely
loves
it.
Daddy, who's Chris Eubank?
Yeah, exactly. It's just a bizarre choice.
I have to know. Mm. I mean, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah.
You know, the Dyson family.
Yeah, yeah.
We know that Ted's going for...
Yeah.
What about Bess, Maggie? What about Katie? What about you?
Well,
what are you carrying?
Maggie and Katie did quite a few together. They did some Taylor Swift classics together.
Lovely.
Some Fleetwood Mac. And then the one song I did was...
was it the Sleaford Mods?
No. They weren't on the system.
Very potty mouth.
They weren't on the system, surprise.
Very potty mouth band. Yeah.
No, I went with In the Ghetto by Elvis. And it was a beautiful moment.
I think
we all agreed. Saturday afternoon.
We all agreed.
In a bowling alley.
Pre-Nando's. What did you all agree?
We all agreed it was a moving performance.
Wayne in Gloucester says, Dave, is it weird that I have horseradish and cheese sarnies?
Now, Wayne, you've become a taste-spiration to us here.
Wow.
I'm in.
Never considered it, but anyway, to have horseradish is...
I do like cheese and spice, and horseradish is very spicy, isn't it?
Yeah,
so
it is.
Maybe
it really
I should give this a
blows
whirl.
Your head off.
Well, the first time I ever had a Bloody Mary in a swanky bar, instead of using Tabasco, they smeared the inside of the glass with horseradish.
Ooh, wow.
It was very, very nice.
It looks a bit disconcerting, that, doesn't it? The white bits floating in.
It does. Yeah. What's this, mate? And I think, that's why I never go into posh bars anymore.
Yeah.
But Wayne in Gloucester, we don't think it's weird. I think it's something. It's a recommendation.
On a bit of cheese on toast, put a bit of horseradish on top.
Underneath the cheese before it melts.
It's good, Wayne. Sam says, Dave, is it weird that I bake a cake but I don't eat the cake?
So
time consuming, I think, isn't it? Baking?
I don't know. Yeah, it is.
You strike me as one of those people who gets joy out of baking, though, Matt.
No, I don't mind cooking, but baking rarely do. We often, when we cook with the kids, we use a little bit of one of those packets by a supermarket brand or something.
Get out. How dare you?
It's just so much easier, isn't it, when it's all in one pack. Betty Crocker's the name, yeah.
And baking's the game.
Betty Crocker's the name, and baking's the game. And lazy baking is my game. Yeah.
Are you a baker, Andrea?
I like baking,
is Rich a baker?
Yeah.
Is your husband a baker?
No. He's more the cook, I'm more the baker. But you can't, if you bake a big cake, you kind of really need to take it into work.
It,
you can't
yeah.
be eating it all yourself. So I do kind of get that.
Yeah, I suppose what I'm trying to see in the weirdness, Sam, is that I can understand. I mean, I personally can't understand because I've never baked anything and I don't think I ever will.
Really?
But yeah, no, never. Not even even when we had to do it at school and home economics. I was like, sorry, miss, I'm not doing it.
You're around the back of the bike sheds or something. 100 million percent.
100 million percent. Andrew, you know me too well already. But I suppose some people might enjoy the process. They might find it therapeutic to
process, but not actually want to eat
the cake for various reasons.
Yeah.
So possibly there's that, but it is quite weird on the whole, Sam. And finally, Will at work in Weybridge, morning Will, says, Dave and the team, is it weird that I try and jump into my joggers every time I change into them? Yes.
Yeah. Well, Wallace and Gromit jumping in,
they're
hanging up.
They have to be hanging up. Yeah.
Opens the trapdoor, slides down. yes, Will, that is weird. But thank you to Wayne, thank you to Sam, and thank you to Will for sharing your quirks this morning here on The Breakfast Show.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Right now, well, it's time to announce the topic du jour. The number is 81215. I actively encourage you to get in touch with your... what can only be described, and I don't want to cause any offence, more on that in a second, your alternative childhood heroes. Good morning, Dave, says Ruth in Telford. Well, good morning, Ruth. She goes on to say, perhaps Evie could go as Rob Beckett for World Book Day in March.
How I imagine that.
I'll get her a little Arsenal top. She's got the glasses already.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah,
he is a published author, isn't he?
He has had a book out. Yes, he has. Great, it works.
It's not a bad idea.
She's got
Ruth.
To do that.
Not a bad idea. Joining us right now, we have Lauren. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team.
Hi, Lauren, the warmest of welcomes to the show. So when it comes to alternative childhood heroes, the first thing I need to know is what kind of age were you at the time?
I was probably about 18 months to 2 years, maybe 3 years old, something like that.
Oh, really? Okay, a toddler.
Very young.
So tell us.
Very little.
Hit us with the two words that make up your alternative hero's name. She's called Lauren. She's in Bury. She's 3 years old, and it's all about one man. Who is that man, Lauren?
Michael Burke.
Michael Burke, everybody. Of course.
Oh. Amazing.
So, the devil's in the detail here. Your mum tells you that, you know, even at that age, you wouldn't watch the news or even have it on unless Michael was at the helm.
No, unless it was Michael Burke, I was not interested in
really?
The
really? That's amazing. Yeah. So, like, Sue Lawley came on, you're like, no, forget it,
no,
turn
care,
over.
So, sling your hook, Sue. So, I mean, did you ever watch 999? Were you a Michael Burke completist?
not completely, no, not completely. I did enjoy it, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't the same.
You preferred the hard news.
Yeah. I only want to be able to see him from the waist up. That's how I like my Michael Burke. From the waist up only, wearing a tie.
Yeah.
Yes. So, you do have a very treasured family possession, don't you, related to Michael Burke? What have you got?
We do. Yes, my mum wrote to the BBC just to say my daughter watches the news with Michael Burke, and he actually wrote back to say how wonderful it is that a child is watching the news, and that is, it's in a memory box at my mum's, at mum and dad's, and that is part of my inheritance. So,
you know, Lauren, it's just occurred to me, I met the great Michael Burke once.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I know, we did a TV show together. We did a Through the Keyhole. And you haven't lived until you've had a small glass of Shiraz and a Volavant with Michael Burke in the green room afterwards, you know. And he was, I am so pleased to report, he was a gentleman. And you've been fantastic as well. Give it up for Lauren, everybody. Margot, who says, Dave, similar to Evie and Rob Beckett, my son was around 6 or 7 when he started watching the Top Gear specials, and he wanted to be Jeremy Clarkson.
Wow.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Asking for bootcut jeans for Christmas. please. Please, no.
Can I get a 3/4-length leather jacket, please, Mum, with epaulettes? The thing is, though, you know, let's not have a go at Jezza.
No.
No. But bootcut jeans are back.
Are they? Yeah, they
Evie's,
are. They?
Evie's favourite jeans. She calls them her cool are. Jeans. Yeah, and now I'm like, are they? They're bootcut.
Wow.
They are.
Yeah,
they are
bootcut. The bigger the jean, the better these days.
Any picture of me from like about 2001 through 2005 I post, like it might be a memory from MTV or something.
I crop it.
I crop myself to the knee in every... You can go through my Instagram now and you can look at all the pictures of me from back in the day. And until I went skinny,
they were dark days for denim, weren't they? They really were.
These are my cool baggy diesel jeans, everyone. So, good morning, Dave and the team. When I was young, my childhood hero was Russ Abbott. Now, as soon as this dropped into the inbox, Matt Dyson...
Eyes lit up.
And you've been going... And this isn't me pretending to be 28, OK? I promise you, I do not know what Russ Abbott atmosphere is.
It's his biggest hit.
Andrew, do you know this?
No, one of my friends has also gone on about this to me.
It's an 80s classic.
Well, we're going to hear it, because Matt's, as I say, hell-bent on us getting it on air. So here we go.
I want an atmosphere. I love a party with a...
I've never seen you look so related. Look at his little face.
You should have done that karaoke this weekend.
Shouldn't I? Wouldn't be on the system. No way.
It wouldn't be. Anyway, Joe from Derby goes on to say, I was absolutely obsessed with him. And then I was lucky enough to meet him at Blackpool Pier one year, of course. You're going to meet Russ Abbott anywhere. Yeah, it's at Blackpool Pier, right? I actually have a photograph of me and my brother with Russ Abbott stuck to my fridge to this day. And then Joe, honestly, he ends his message to the studio, to the nation, with, if my dad wasn't my dad, I would want Russ Abbott to be my dad.
Wow.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
Welcome along to The Breakfast Show on your Wednesday morning. Coming up in just over 15 minutes' time, we have the latest instalment of Radio's easiest game to play, the hardest one to win. Yes, in other words, five words, five grand is on the way. But right now, well, I'm going to encourage you to 8-12-15. That's how you text me live and direct in the studio. Or if you're over 16, you can leave us a voice note if that's more convenient. We welcome those at 0330-123-1215. We want to spend a little bit of time focusing on the fact that it is now half time of half term. Yes, it is Wednesday morning. It is before 8 a.m. And so basically, you're halfway there.
We've made it this far. We need a little pep talk, don't we? We need to have a sit down, a little rest, some segments of Orange, and then we can get back out there for the second half.
We need Michael Sheen to come in to the dressing room
speech.
And give us all a pep talk. You're right. So how is it going, is what I want to know. So 8, 12, 15, as I say. Is it going really rather well? Are you an old hand at this? And maybe you can pass on some tips for the top to parents who may be experiencing, or guardians who may be experiencing their first half term.
Yeah, overwhelm, perhaps.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, you've got three children on
half
term.
Yeah, yeah, it's busy. It's busy. But we played tennis for 2 hours yesterday, so that filled quite a lot of the time. Yeah, but I broke one of Ted's little toy plastic tennis rackets by going for a big overhead
smash. Like John
McEnroe
or...
No, just by hitting a ball. We were using the wrong type of ball for it. It was my fault.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was using a cricket ball?
No, just the hard tennis ball, not the soft one.
Right.
He was okay, though, because he just spent the whole hour pretending to be Sean Dyche coaching from the sidelines.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, just have you broken the news yet? Or?
Yeah, he knows, but he just shouts out, the basics. Just do the basics. That's all he did for an hour.
So, I mean, Matt, what we can take from that is, you know, half-time of half-term, are you smashing your children's belongings up? You know, 8, 12, 15. Or is it going swimmingly? We would love to hear from you. Let's club together right now. Parent or not, half-time, half-term. Sarah Jane bought not an official product, Lego, for Evie.
No. Off-brand.
It's off the back of a lorry, not off-brand. That's right, where it's from. I don't know where she got it from. She found it in the darkest corners of the internet. And it's down to yours truly here to build it.
Oh, no.
It's a roller coaster.
Oh, what?
You know, those of you who are au fait with Lego, and trust me, I have become very au fait with Lego recently. Mm. And I love the stuff. And in fact, I've gone so far from like, oh, I've got to build this for Evie, to like, I'm quite looking forward to sitting
quite
with a cup
nice
of tea at the dining table,
to do, isn't it? Yeah.
Building some Lego. So when you get a box of Lego now, if it's like a little house or something like that, vets.
Your Lego friends type thing, yeah.
100%. In there, there's a very helpful instruction manual, always on point. I wish that flat pack furniture could learn from Lego.
Yeah.
It would be really helpful.
Much better detail, yeah.
And then what you get is you get about maybe three or four different packs of Lego. They're in separate clear bags and they're labelled 1, 2, 3 and 4.
Clear.
And then there's a little in the instruction manual, there's a little hand ripping bag 2 and you go, oh, it's time to open bag 2.
Yeah.
So I knew that this was dodgy, not an official product, when I looked in the instruction manual, which it had tried to copy from the Lego brand.
Yeah.
And it said tear bag 1. So I opened this huge box and inside there's like 6 bags. They're all labelled 1.
Oh, no.
They were all labelled 1. Oh. Anyway, I finally completed it as a half-time, half-term treat for Evie yesterday.
Gosh.
And it's shambolic.
The little
carriages don't go round the track because they bang into the walls. Yeah. Things are always falling off.
And it won't hook up with your other Lego projects, will it, presumably?
They won't fit together. I'm trying to build my own Legoland here and it's not working.
Yeah, yeah.
Evie just looked disappointed. And this was supposed to be something to do other than a bit of screen time.
Yes.
But in the end, we just stick Loud House on again.
Yeah.
Let's just watch Loud House, why not? Dave, I'm not a parent, but I teach an after-school musical theatre club, currently rehearsing the musical 6 with the kids so they can perform it on stage in a few months. Andrew, you're a big fan. Have you seen 6?
I haven't seen 6, but I know it's about the wives of Henry VIII.
Yes.
So it's supposed to be very good.
It does sound very good.
Half term so far has consisted of me having a break and not listening to a single 6 song. shout out to Shining Star Performing Arts School based in Berkshire. It's half term hijinks in my house, Dave, says Greg in Sussex. My daughter had a friend round yesterday to try and break the monotonous. I'm bored every 5 minutes. About halfway through the play date, my daughter runs into the front room claiming her friend had just used the downstairs loo and now there's a leak on the floor. Thinking of how much a plumber was going to be, Apparently, they had decided it was going to be prank day. And there, lying on the floor next to the loo, was in fact a leak. A green leak they had taken from our fridge. And that's how half-time at half-term is going for Greg in Sussex. And Kat from Twickenham, whoa. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. I started working nights at the beginning of the month, doing midnight to 8 a.m. I had not thought about how insane that would be when half term came around.
No.
You wouldn't though, would you? Oh, it's not the first thing that comes to mind.
No, I know, but that must be impossible to sleep in the day.
Kat is a single mum to a very energetic 8-year-old, and to add salt to the wound, I then got moved to 10-hour shifts, doing 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. for 1 week only. This week. The week of half term! Of all the weeks, says Kat. So I've been napping in between shifts and hugs with her on the sofa with excessive movies. Don't blame yourself, Kat. That's absolutely... Yeah. Get that screen time in. Mm-hmm. And she's loved sneaking spoonfuls of Nutella behind my back because I'm that dazed and confused. It's like being drunk, Dave, but without any of the fun. Stay strong, Kat. We really do applaud you. And everybody, thank you for sharing your tales at halftime of half term. Halfway to go. We can do it.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.
It is Thursday morning. Welcome along to the Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Home to It Happened, But We Never Speak About It. Now, this has been a firm favourite on The Breakfast Show for the last few weeks. It came about because Matt Dyson's belly button is its own content creator.
Yeah, and fluff. Fluff and content, that's what we're talking about.
So basically, Matt was having an old bed taken away to a charity shop, and the guy who picked it up with the van accidentally stuck his finger in Matt's belly button when taking the slats for the bed from him. So it happened, but they just looked at each other, never spoke of it again. And that's what sparked basically a feature that involves this.
Redacted.
So you send your tales in their rawest form. Let us make them broadcastable on your behalf. So just, the brakes are off.
Yeah.
Let's do it. 8, 12, 15. The bosses loathe this feature. And we always just so happen to do it on the day we have our big production meeting at 10:30. But there we go. So this comes in from James in Leamington Spa. Now, yesterday we were celebrating the half-time at half-term heroes.
Yes.
Good morning, Dave. I took my two kids to West Midlands Safari Park yesterday. Lovely drive around until we got to the giraffes. The male giraffe was a bit...
redacted.
And decided to show his...
redacted.
And tried to...
redacted.
The female right in front of the car.
Oh, no.
The female giraffe was not interested, and so ultimately he...
redacted.
All over the bonnet of our Kia saloon.
What? Oh, no. Oh.
We will never speak of this half term again.
Get the wipers on and get out of the giraffe enclosure quick. Oh, wow. That is amazing.
Just a male giraffe just going, what am I going to do now?
Oh, no.
Anonymous in Wrexham says, hi, Dave and the team. My wife and I were shopping at our local New Look when my wife decided to try a few things on. I was sitting in the changing rooms in a chair between the changing room cubicles. My wife shouted to me to come and see what she was wearing. Thinking she was in the nearest cubicle to my left, I walked up and, to quote Elbow, flung those curtains wide. Only to find a woman with her top off. Who was definitely, I'm certain, not my wife, staring back at me. She shouted, excuse me, at the top of her lungs. I've never sheepishly waited longer at a till for my wife to pay for something than I did that day.
Wow, banned from New Look.
It's a new low. One anonymous in Wrexham thought he'd never reach, but he has. Okay. Good morning, Dave. Good morning, team. Some time ago, I had a fairly big night out with a group of friends. It was in London and accommodation wasn't cheap, so we all decided to share rooms. I shared with a very good friend of mine.
We got back fairly late after having a decent amount to drink. My friend was already in the bed and I got in to have a well-earned sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I realised I clearly made myself more comfortable than I perhaps should have. I was spooning my friend and my hands were down his pants, pretty well wedged between his...
redacted.
...cheeks.
What? It's redacted cheeks.
That's right, Matt, it's... redacted. ...cheeks. I bet you're thrilled you let your voice in, aren't you, Andrea?
So
although
happy.
She's at journalism school.
Redacted.
Cheeks. Oh. I carefully tried to extract myself from said position, and while doing so, I woke my friend, clearly wondering what the hell heck was going on. We've never spoken of it again. Dave from Wiltshire.
That's so weird.
It's like using it like one of those gloves that you put both your hands
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we have boob tube. Yeah, two separate tales. Let's start with the tube, shall we? Yeah. From Eddie in Harrow. Good morning, Dave. I was travelling on the tube many years ago. It was when people used to read newspapers instead of having their faces stuck to their phones. All of a sudden, I felt a sneeze coming on. I let rip from my nostrils and a big fat...
redacted.
...landed on the man's hand who was sitting next to me. Luckily, the tube was pulling into the station and I legged it. And I've never spoken of it until now.
Oh, I wonder if the guy noticed that it was on there.
Oh, it's so grim. Best wishes, Eddie and Harrow.
Best wishes.
I think you can sign off with that, Eddie. I don't know if you can.
Go well.
Yeah. Get a hanky, for heaven's sake.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave and the team. When I was a 13-year-old schoolboy, I used to knock for my best mate. One particular morning, he wasn't feeling too well, and his mum told me at the door in her dressing gown. Yeah, we all know where this is going, don't we?
Right, okay.
As she was explaining...
dressing gowns lead to a lot of problems.
Yeah, 100%. As she was explaining, their border collie bolted for the open door, so we both reacted to keep the dog in. I suddenly noticed my face was really close to my best friend's mum's right...
redacted.
...which had become unfettered.
Unfettered.
I went incredibly red, which alerted said friend's mum to look down to see her...
redacted.
...in my face. Both now bright red, and my friend's mum desperately trying to spoon her
redacted.
Back in. We both said goodbye really loudly, and we never spoke of it again. Bob in Braintree.
Oh, it's like an in-betweeners episode, that, isn't it? Bob, come on.
You can see it's even Neil or Jay, can't you?
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Eddie. Thank you to everybody for sharing your tales. If it happened, but we never speak about it. We are going to definitely be doing this again on The Breakfast Show. So if we didn't get round to yours this morning, don't worry and keep them coming to 8, 12, 15.
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show.
Absolute Radio.
It is Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here on The Dave Berry Breakfast Show, a radio happening on Absolute Radio, where, of course, real... music matters. And right now, with that in mind, I have some very exciting news indeed. They've released a new single. They've got a new album coming out in April. They're playing live at Liverpool's iconic Anfield Stadium in June this year. And on Monday, they'll be joining me on The Breakfast Show. Yes, a round of applause. Foo Fighters are on Breakfast from 8 a.m. on Monday. Yes, they are. The new single, Your Favourite Toy, was released at 2 p.m. yesterday, along with the news that the album of the same name is coming on the 24th of April.
Great to have them back, isn't it?
Of course, we love it here, and we're going to love having Dave Grohl and Foo Fighters join us here on The Breakfast Show from 8 a.m. on Monday morning. Don't miss it. I'd like to take a moment right now to reach out to all of you who are listening to me right now, who maybe when you were at school and you did a production, you were kind of shunted towards the back.
Oh, yeah.
We've all been there. Mm, I mean, I had that one great year where I was Joseph, but Unfortunately, I held the baby Jesus upside down by his leg for the whole thing, which you know was my sister's doll, but you know that wasn't great. Yeah. So then I was, when we did George's Marvelous Medicine, I was reduced to just being like in the background as a tree or whatever.
I was a dog in Adrian Mole. No one even knew there was a dog.
So anyway, there's those who have been Joseph and a lead role, you know, lead part in Adrian Mole. And then there's those of us who have been the dog and the tree. But there's a middle ground, right? And this middle ground has befallen my 7-year-old daughter. And it's such a fascinating middle ground to be in. Because if I said to you, there is an American by the name of Michael Collins, an American gentleman named Michael Collins, do you know who that is?
No, I don't know who that is.
You don't know who that is because they're doing as a production, which I think is a fascinating and brilliant idea. They're celebrating the moon landings, and I have Evie's script here, which I've screen grabbed on my phone, and it starts with Talia, the lovely Talia, her classmate. Mm-hmm. She says, "Neil Armstrong here." And then Elodie, the lovely Elodie, says, "Buzz Aldrin. And yes, my real name is Buzz. How cool is that?" Yeah. And then it says, "Evie, Michael Collins reporting." Yes, the third person we've never heard of who went to the moon.
Yes, he's the other one. No one ever talks about Michael Collins,
the astronaut,
actually go on the moon. Is that right?
Oh, I was welling up as I went through.
We know the big two because they walked on the moon.
And he
surface.
Was just there while it was in park.
He was just helping
just
out.
Just making sure.
All three go, "We're astronauts," right?
Oh, this sounds like a great production.
We are astronauts. I feel sorry for Michael Collins in all of this
I know,
as well.
I feel really bad.
Not only Evie. But then it gets to the astronauts, Buzz and Neil, obviously. Mm. They're chucking
the
about a little
show,
bit.
Yeah,
yeah, they're going down to the surface of the moon. They're busting out the one giant leap for mankind. Right. They're doing all that stuff. And then Evie's line is, "While Neil and Buzz went down to the moon, I stayed in orbit for 21 hours.
What a lie.
Not quite as glamorous, was it?
But how unfair. The guy orbited the moon for 21 hours. And the only reason I knew that was because my 7-year-old daughter's been cast as him in a production. This is surely the wrong way around.
We need to champion Michael Collins, don't we? Someone needs to.
Michael Collins, the astronaut, we apologise to you. Evie's thrilled to be playing your
the
part.
Forgotten astronaut. Yeah. He just kept the car running while all the exciting stuff was happening.
One more time. While Neil and Buzz went down to the moon, I stayed in orbit for 21 hours.
I'll see you at the end of the play, because I won't do anything until then.
And then she just backs off and goes behind a starry curtain.
Thanks for joining us here on The Breakfast Show on your Friday morning. Well, I told tale of a very rare opportunity for you to work hard using your brains to earn a shout out. Yes, it is time for the smash, and allow me to explain the inspiration. Firstly, my daughter is going to be playing the lesser known astronaut Michael Collins as part of the moon landings. So bear that in mind. And yesterday during Five Words, Five Grand, this happens.
For a 4 out of 5, which matches Claire's PB playing along at home. What do you got for Spanish?
Omelette.
Yes.
What? Yes. Amazing.
Inquisition, surely.
No. I always think food. It always food first. Okay. Then history second. You know that. Okay. That's the difference between us.
That's it. I'm all about history and you're all about food. That's why we're such a lovable duo. Hi, I'm History Dave and that's Foodie Matt. Welcome to our pod. Welcome to our pod, yeah?
Sorry, podcasters.
I would listen to that.
Yeah. We must do an app later.
So before we get into inspiration for the smash a little further, Alison in Bury's got in touch saying, "Dave, regarding Evie's school production of the moon landings, bear in mind the lesser known astronaut Michael Collins had a contingency plan of having to return to Earth alone if Armstrong and Buzz died on the moon." Oh. Grim. I'll just have a quick look through my 7-year-old daughter's script. Oh, there it is at the end. Yeah, bye guys. Yeah. I'm off back down to Earth. No one's going to hear about you, just me, astronaut Michael Collins.
He had the last laugh.
Curtain closes. So what we're doing is, and this is a first on The Breakfast Show, it's a big one, but it's because I know you can handle it. Any major historical event or character versus any food. This is like the pilot for our new podcast.
Yes, it is. This is where it starts. Yeah.
Okay, so I've gone for Pom Pom Pay Bears.
Oh, lovely
and
work.
And Dunkirk in Donuts.
Oh.
What have you got, Matt?
The Magnum Carta.
Oh, good.
Death Semolinaization.
Oh,
come on.
Wow.
And the Bio Tapas Tree. It's like a embroidered cloth creation covered in patatas bravas and chorizo.
That's a great set. Andrew, what about you?
What about the Battle of Tastings?
Very nice.
Ooh,
it's
very good.
Yes.
And chicken Thai tonic green curry.
Brilliant. Oh, there we go.
It's tenuous, but
good.
That's how we're doing it when it comes to any historical event or character versus any food.
The Gettysburger Address from Ian in Woking.
Oh, yes.
The Boston Dairy Lee Party from Pete in Devon.
Amazing work.
Quinston Churchill from Mitch in Birmingham. Beef Cromwellington from Jess in York. The Big Magna Carta from Rory the Chippy. Yes, 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 yes.
Sarah in Leeds has gone for Alfred the Great. Id Cheese, Henry Tudor, says James in Macclesfield, George Squashington, lovely work from Leslie in Warrington, The Milk Road, says Kelly in Aberdeen, quite like that, and Dino on X has gone for Joan of Arctic Roll.
Well done, everybody. You took historical events and figures and you smashed them together with food and you earned your shout-outs, which is why The Smash will be back one day soon here on The Breakfast Show.
£5,000. Absolute Radio.
7:35 on a Thursday morning is the perfect time for a round of five words, £5,000. And playing along this morning is Claire. Hello, Claire.
Morning, Dave. Morning, team.
Claire, how lovely having you on the show. Claire resides in Surrey, joins us each and every morning via the main station and has matched 4 out of 5. Claire told us off air, but that was a long time ago. Claire, don't be so hard on yourself. 5 words, £5,000 has been so difficult recently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been super tough. But I've got a feeling today is going to be the day we can do it, Claire. I know we can. Which member of the team would you most like to play alongside this morning? Would you like Matt or Andrea?
Matt, please.
You'd like Matt? Well, it's not down to me, unfortunately. It's down to the random player generator. Let's give it a spin, Claire.
5 words, £5,000. Player generator.
Matt Dyson.
Did you play yesterday, Matt?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be Matt again. Matt
Dyson. Surely not.
Free choice.
It's a free choice. Ooh. And Claire, Matt's your man.
Matt's my man.
Okay, time to leave the studio, please. There he goes. Goodbye, man. Claire, I'm about to give you 5 words, and you need to say the first word that comes to your perfect brain, whether it be an opposite, a follow-on. That's the way to go, I suggest. Shortly, Matt Dyson will be presented with the exact same 5 words, and if he says what you say, well, you've got £5,000. So, good luck.
Thank you.
Let's play 5 words, £5,000. And your first word is... give.
Take.
Bubble.
Sorry?
Bubble. B-U-B-B-L-E. Bubble.
Bath.
Laugh. L-A-U-G-H. Laugh.
Cry.
Healthy.
Healthy.
Is that a woodpecker you've got in your kitchen with you, Claire, or...?
That's me knocking my brain into gear.
Take your time, Claire. There's no rush. There's never any hurry.
Healthy. Oh, my goodness me. Healthy. I haven't got a blinking clue.
I'll say healthy body. I don't know.
Healthy body. It's good. I suppose, yeah, diet is probably an option.
Snacks.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Specimen. Don't say that on Breakfast Radio,
Dave. Yeah, it's kind of the same as body. I'm going to just.
That's fine. And finally, Claire, the word is Spanish.
Spanish. Omelette.
Okay. Take bath, cry body omelette is one heck of a sentence you've created there, Claire. Well done. It's locked in. Matt Dyson's in play on Five Words, Five Grand. Next.
Five Words, Five Grand.
Absolute Radio.
Claire's choice. Matt Dyson is back in the studio. Claire is ready to play Five Words, Five Grand to try and win £5,000. Claire, before we do that, it is time for your best bits.
Oh.
It's a Claire supercut.
Really?
You ready for this? Here we go.
Oh, my goodness me.
That's Claire's best bits there.
I thought there was going to be some beatbox at some point there.
So it is time to do it. Good luck to you both. Matt Dyson, give.
Take.
Correct.
Yes.
One down, Claire. Nicely done. Bubble.
Bath, bath.
Correct, which means none of this yes. today. Good. Excellent.
Come on, Claire. This is going well. I don't know what your problem was.
Here we go. Laugh. L-A-U-G-H. Laugh.
Cry.
Yes!
Yes!
Come on, it had to be opposite.
Three out of yes, five Claire. So far on Five Words, Five Grand. The penultimate word. The word that caused most of this is healthy.
Oh, that is a tough. I can understand the noises now.
100%.
Healthy. This. Oh. Lifestyle.
Oh, no.
Eating. Oh.
Body.
Healthy body. I mean, there's so many.
Yeah.
Healthy in front of anything.
Yeah.
Oh. Healthy beer.
Unless unhealthy is probably quite...
Yeah, it probably exists.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're not going to be...
annoying. Sorry, Claire.
...giving it's the money one. Away today. But healthy what's body. The final word for a 4 out of 5, which matches Claire's PB playing along at home? Yeah. What do you got for Spanish?
Omelette.
Yes.
What? Yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
Inquisition, surely.
No. I always think food. They always food first. Okay. Then history second. You know that. Okay. That's the difference between us.
That's it. I'm all about history and you're all about food. That's why we're such a lovable duo. Hi, I'm History Dave and that's Foodie Matt. Welcome to our pod. Welcome to our pod, yeah?
The Dave Berry Breakfast Show. Absolute Radio.